Welcome to Computing Lives, a podcast from the IEEE Annals of the History of Computing. Some of the important stories of computing are not the heroic victories that we like to recall. They're often more humbling activities, times when a computer company learned an important lesson because it was stretched to the limit. Such is the case in today's podcast, which concerns the BINAC. John William Mockley and John Presper Eckert and their associates were responsible for many firsts in the computer field. They were integrally involved in four notable projects. First, the ENIAC, the first electronic digital computer. Second, the EDVAC, first electronic digital computer designed to incorporate the stored program concept. Third, the BINAC, the first operational stored computer completed in the United States. And fourth, the UNIVAC, the first commercial electronic stored program digital computer. All of these projects required careful historical analysis, not only because they represent important firsts, but because there continues to be a significant amount of controversy surrounding each of them. The purpose of this podcast is to provide an historical account of the development work on the BINAC and to address some of the controversial issues which specifically relate to it. One of the most difficult periods for Eckert and Mockley was the transition from 1946, when their company, Electronic Control Corporation, signed a study agreement with the National Bureau of Standards to develop a computer, and 1948, when the actual design contract for that computer was awarded. During this time, the funds that they received from the government totaled about $75,000, which simply was not enough to sustain the company and to develop a computer. During this period, Eckert and Mockley signed a contract, therefore, with the Northrop Aircraft Company of Hawthorne, California, for a small-scale computer that they called the BINAC, an acronym for Binary Automatic Computer. This machine subsequently became the first stored program electronic digital computer completed in the United States. It also provided Eckert and Mockley with some of the funding necessary to sustain their company. In 1947, Northrop was working on a classified project for the Air Force at Wright Field in Ohio. The project called for the development of a long-range guided missile called the Snark. To meet the contractual obligations, Northrop needed a machine which could be used for in-flight navigation to control the missile. On April 18, 1947, Northrop hired Mockley as a consultant to determine if digital electronic equipment could be adapted to suit its needs. By June 25, 1947, Northrop was sufficiently convinced of the feasibility and desirability of such a machine, based on Mockley's recommendations, to enter into negotiations with the Electronic Control Company for the design and construction of a scientific computer. Although the BINAC was a general-purpose machine which could be used for a wide variety of applications, the end user had a very specific application in mind. The contract wrote, "The experimental computer is needed in order to provide the feasibility of a particular method of navigation. It should be less than 20 cubic feet in volume, and weigh 700 pounds or less, and be capable of operating from 117 volts, 60, or 400 cycles. Although a compact airborne computer was desired, this phrase was not included in the final contract. It was Eckert and Mockley's intention to build the BINAC according to the precise specifications outlined by Northrop, but at the same time to have the machine serve as a prototype for the larger general-purpose UNIVAC. The contract for the BINAC was let on October 8, 1947. The machine was to be completed by May 15, 1948, for $100,000. As designed, the BINAC had a capacity of 512 words, or numbers, each of which consisted of 30 binary digits. Like the proposed EDVAC, it utilized Mercury delay lines for storage, with several separate delay lines, or channels as they were called, in the same tank of Mercury. The BINAC had approximately 1,400 vacuum tubes, which was a significant improvement over the 18,000 tubes used in the ENIAC. The BINAC was capable of performing 3,500 additions or subtractions per second, or 1,000 multiplications or divisions per second. All operations were performed in the binary numbering system and displayed in octal notation. There was no provision for representation of alphabetic characters, such as would be the case in UNIVAC. This made the computer more suitable for scientific applications than for commercial ones. It was designed to be small enough so that it could be placed on an airplane. The final dimensions of the device were 5 feet by 4 feet by 1 foot, exactly 20 cubic feet of space. In addition to its small size, it had two distinctive features. It was a stored program computer, the first to be completed in the United States, and although it was designed for a special use, it was also capable of solving numerous types of mathematical problems. It had arithmetic, data transfer, and logical control commands common to other computers being built at that time. Second, it was specifically designed to minimize the occurrence of computer errors. It actually incorporated two processing units, each capable of checking the other. Actually twin computers, BINAC has duplicate arithmetic channels so that it can check itself at every step, said the report. Eckert and Mockley had difficulty in meeting the construction deadlines in this undertaking, as they did in their development of UNIVAC. Although May 15, 1948 was the contracted date for completion, the BINAC was not operational until August 1949, almost 15 months later, and it was not formally accepted by Northrop in a demonstration until August 22, 1949. The following month, the computer was disassembled and shipped to California. This demonstration also served to satisfy a requirement of the National Bureau of Standards with respect to its development of the UNIVAC computer. Eckert and Mockley had convinced the National Bureau of Standards that since the BINAC contained many of the features to be included in the more comprehensive UNIVAC system, the former computer could be regarded as a prototype of the latter. The completion of the BINAC, then, satisfied the development of the Census Bureau and UNIVAC contract. This permitted Eckert and Mockley to receive additional funds from the National Bureau of Standards. In the acceptance test, the BINAC was operational for 7 hours and 10 minutes, of which 40 minutes was downtown for component replacement and repair. This was deemed adequate by both Northrop and by the National Bureau of Standards. Eckert and Mockley flatly underestimated the cost of constructing the BINAC. As in the situation with the UNIVAC, the two men were unable to provide good cost estimates. Thus, while their technical know-how was considerable, their business acumen was not as distinctive. The expense of building computers with development costs far in excess of the actual purchase price was a major factor which led to the eventual insolvency of the Eckert-Mockley Computer Corporation, the successor of the Electronic Control Corporation. The final construction costs of the BINAC were $278,000, almost three times the contracted price of $100,000. Whereas large, well-established corporations could afford to absorb such losses during the first few years of a major research and development project, small companies such as the Electronic Controls Company could not. Efforts to renegotiate the contract with Northrop, both before and after the BINAC was completed, proved to be fruitless. A significant amount of controversy beyond the funding problems still surrounds the BINAC. Was it ever a fully operational computer? How did it affect the development of the UNIVAC, which was undertaken during the exact same period? Since the BINAC was the first stored program computer completed in the United States, these questions are not insignificant ones. These issues will be considered both from a technical and a corporate standpoint, since the two perspectives are integrally related and cannot effectively be treated separately. The work of Eckert and Mockley and their associates on the BINAC is difficult to assess. They contracted to build the machine in 8 months. It required, in fact, 15 additional months to complete. In December 1948, Richard Baker of Northrop came to Philadelphia to learn about and to report on the progress being made. He stayed 8 months and sent periodic letters to Frank Bell, the project engineer at Northrop, citing major technical problems. In the end, Northrop did indeed accept the computer, and it also acknowledged that the work performed by Eckert and Mockley was satisfactory. As one report stated it, Eckert and Mockley are sadly in default in the matter of their BINAC contract with us, having run past their contracted date for delivery, by more than a year now. Nevertheless, their work has been satisfactory to us, though the calendar schedule has not. The device was delivered in September 1949, and the following month Northrop paid Eckert and Mockley the outstanding $20,000 of their $100,000 contract. The official report stated that the BINAC actually does exceed the specific requirement of the contract in a very considerable measure. In fact, the official documents from Northrop indicate that the aircraft company's top management was extremely dissatisfied with both the workmanship and the delivery of the computer. This dissatisfaction was based on their firsthand experience with the device after it was delivered and reassembled. This machine, the BINAC's, operational difficulties, was not simply a result of the deplorable condition of the BINAC as received, but was also inherent in the unreliability and the insensitivity of the machine in operations. In all, the report detailed 28 serious deficiencies. As a result of the BINAC's difficulties, Northrop became increasingly dissatisfied with the device and made numerous requests of Eckert and Mockley to reconstruct several parts. Eckert and Mockley, who had then already received the full balance of their contract, were facing insolvency and were focusing all their technical attention and energies on completing the UNIVAC. Consequently, they failed to meet many of Northrop's demands, not because of technical incompetence, but because they lacked critical funds. The BINAC then had a short and somewhat disappointing history in California. It never worked to the satisfaction of Northrop. In spite of the difficulties, the BINAC had a certain measure of success. It was the first stored program electronic device constructed and operated in the United States. It worked logically and somewhat reliably at Eckert and Mockley's Philadelphia headquarters. This, accomplished by these two men and their associates, was a major technological achievement, particularly in light of their serious financial difficulties. But because of the constraints, particularly on Eckert's time, who was the chief engineer, and the company's monetary problems, they did not give enough care to finishing the device. It remained forever, therefore, in an experimental state. Eckert and Mockley's simultaneous research and development efforts on both the BINAC and the UNIVAC during that 1948-49 period was simply too great an undertaking for a small, financially unstable corporation. On the one hand, they were forced into this overcommitment as a result of the delays encountered in getting the original UNIVAC contract. On the other hand, they actually sought out additional projects, confident that they were able to meet the greater commitments. At the end of the contract, Mockley was actually eager to manufacture additional BINACs. He found that there were many industrial organizations and universities which were interested in acquiring small computers, including the University of Illinois, the National Bureau of Standards, the Institute for Numerical Analysis, General Motors, Arthur D. Little and Company. However, the engineers at the Electronic Controls Corporation, especially J. Presper Eckert, were much more interested in building large-scale comprehensive computers rather than in repeating the BINAC. They argued that a major effort to adapt the BINAC for more general use would simply require too much time, time which would be better spent on the UNIVAC. Mockley, after thinking about the issues, chose to accept Eckert's opinion on this matter, despite the fact that he was the company's main liaison with customers and potential users, and therefore, potentially, in a better position to judge the marketability of the BINAC. Once the BINAC was delivered to Northrop, it no longer played a significant role in the computing field. Northrop never really used the computer for the purpose originally intended. After August 1949, Eckert and Mockley focused all of their technical attention on completing the 6 UNIVACs which were on order, 3 for the government, 1 for the Prudential Insurance Company, and 2 for the A.C. Nielsen Company. By 1950, Eckert and Mockley were unable to meet any of their financial obligations. The immediate cause of this insolvency was the death of Harry Strauss, who was their chief financial backer. Their operations, therefore, were acquired by Remington Rand in February 1950, and they later became the Univac division of Sperry Rand. Remington Rand immediately set out to renegotiate all the Univac contracts, since the prices initially agreed upon were far below the costs incurred. All parties refused to reopen negotiations. Remington Rand was therefore able to cancel the Prudential and Nielsen contracts, but beginning in March 1951, delivered the first Univac to the government, and within a year delivered the other two, all three at the original contracted price. In spite of the unsuccessful business ventures that Eckert and Mockley got into during these years, their achievement in forging technological change in the computing field with the Binnack as well as the Univac cannot be overstated. You've been listening to Computing Lives. This podcast is based on an essay which was written by Nancy Stern and appeared in Volume 1, Number 1 of the Annals of the History of Computing. More about the Annals, as well as the other publications of the Computer Society, can be found at www.computer.org. To find the Annals homepage, just click on Technical Magazines. Other Computer Society podcasts, including others in this series, can be found at www.computer.org/podcasts. If you have any comments, we'd love to hear them. You can send them to podcasts@computer.org. The music for this podcast came from the Podshow PodSafe Music Network. You can find it at music.podshow.com. That's all for today. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.